Should you ever set foot outside of the motel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount Plus. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.
This is With the First Pick, the CBS Sports NFL Draft Podcast. This is episode 54. I'm Ryan Wilson. That's Rick Spielman. Today, we're talking impact rookie classes. Why are you laughing, Rick?
Your introduction. I just can't take it anymore. I'm sorry.
Well, you can tell the Paramount Plus challenge. I didn't even tell you what it is yet. We'll get to that in a second. But we're talking impact rookie classes. Those rookies who could play a big part in their team success in 2023. Thinking about the Seahawks, the Jets, and the Chiefs from a year ago with those rookie classes. And by the way, if you missed it, Rick and I talked impact rookies individually, as well as coming up, we're going to have a mailbag. So on Monday, Memorial Day, we don't get a day off, Rick.
No.
Everyone else, before they barbecue up the hamburgers and hot dogs and whatnot, can listen to our mailbag. I have heard that there may be some dad jokes. So if you hang around to the end, you can impress your friends at the cookout with the dad jokes that Rick has in store.
And my wife bought me a special shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Just for Memorial Day. So I can't wait to break it out on Monday for the show.
Yeah. So look for that. Wear your sunglasses just in case, as a safety precaution when you see the shirt. But yeah, so Rick and I talk impact rookies individually. That's in the feed if you want to check that out. As always, you can watch us live on YouTube at NFL on CBS and give us a thumbs up while you're there. And if you're on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, subscribe and leave a 5-star review. Rick, I mentioned the P Plus Challenge, and Rick is the only employee of the company who doesn't get Paramount Plus for free. It's one of the many perks for working at Viacom and Viacom CBS, and Debo is going to make Rick earn his P Plus subscription. Rick, shall we say you come up short a few times in the previous challenges. I don't have a lot of hope that you're going to be successful in this one.
I can't wait to hear what this challenge is.
All right, Debo, let Rick know what Rick's Paramount Plus challenge is going to be.
Just tone down the sarcasm. You cannot.
He's out.
You cannot.
Are you kidding me?
You cannot critique. You cannot make fun of Ryan's analysis, his opinions, his picks in today's show.
Okay, what will be the next Paramount Plus challenge?
next week.
This may be the most difficult one I've had to do.
I know. I feel like we could have this challenge with every person at the company involved in any way with HR, and you would still fail the first 5 seconds.
I call that department PR.
PR, the PR department. All right, well, let's see how this goes, Debo. I feel like this is going to be a turning point in our relationship with that challenge. So let's see how this goes. All right. Impact rookie classes in 2023. We talked about those impact rookies on the last podcast. As I mentioned, you can see that in the old podcast feed. But first, let's take a look at the 2022 rookie classes that made some noise, were really good for their teams. Debo was kind enough to put together my list of my favorite classes from a year ago, right after the season. And
right after the season, they wouldn't have a rookie draft class right after the season.
You failed the Paramount Plus challenge. The
draft class. Right. I'm just correcting.
The tone wasn't great. I'll be honest with you. You're right. After the draft, I had Carolina number one. And the way I do my sort of grades, they're not really grades, but I compare where I thought these players might go with where they actually went, and do sort of a plus minus that way. So Ike Ekwonu went right where I thought he was going to go a year ago. Matt Corral was a huge miss on my part. He's out even in the quarterback conversation. He was hurt a year ago, so he didn't play. But, I mean, they have Bryce Young now, so that's a wrap. They took Brandon Smith, the linebacker, didn't contribute very much. Amari Barno, the edge rusher of Virginia Tech, didn't contribute very much. Neither did Cade Mays or Kalen Barnes, their final two picks. So it just goes to show how hard it is seconds after the draft ends to sort of predict what's going to happen down the road. That's a shocker, very hard, right?
Apparently, a lot harder than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
Did I not do the draft with you last year a little bit? That's when it kind of started.
Absolutely.
Why did I get invited to come and do some of this stuff with you after the draft?
Because you were off on whatever the side job is you had going on. And
I didn't have any side jobs last year.
Well, that's not true, because on day one of the draft, you were with Fox.
We're not promoting other media outlets.
If you're not going to be truthful, Rick, I'm going to have to call you out. but I will say, and if you're watching on YouTube, you can see Debo has my rankings from a year ago for the Carolina Panthers in particular. But I had the Seahawks at 4. I had the Jets at 9 and the Chiefs at 6. So that's not too bad. I mean, Charles Cross, Boye Mafe, Ken Walker III, Abe Lucas, both Abe Lucas and Charles Cross were starters very early on, if not immediately, along the offensive line. Tariq Woolen, look at that, Rick. I want you to notice he went in the 5th round. I had a 2nd round grade on him. I'm pretty good. What do you think?
Allegedly. I was not involved in this. Well,
it's on the internet. It has to be true.
Okay. Yes. That's where I go get all my information.
Thank you. And that's why you're so successful. Debo, go down to 6. That's where the Chiefs were. They won the Super Bowl, obviously, but their rookie class, I mean, was just one of the best rookie classes you can remember off the top of your head in terms of contributing right away?
I would say for a rookie class to contribute and they win the Super Bowl, just because of how much they had some turnover last year. You know, they traded away Tyreek Hill. Mm-hmm. Everybody thought that, you know, the Patrick Mahomes without Tyreek Hill may not be the same Patrick Mahomes, but that turned out not to be true. I read that on the internet and it wasn't true. but yeah, they had a very productive rookie class. And especially when you say that this rookie class helped them actually win a Super Bowl.
And if you look at the last two picks, if you're watching on YouTube, Jalen Watson, cornerback out of Washington State, middle of the 7th round, Isaiah Pacheco, end of the 7th round, running back out of Rutgers. There are no two rookies drafted at that point in the process that had a bigger impact on their team's success, whether the team won one game or whether the team won the Super Bowl, than those two players, I would argue.
I would say Pacheco. Watson got his opportunity. Actually, I believe when McDuffie got hurt, he stepped in and did a phenomenal job. When McDuffie was not able to play.
Yeah, so this is one of those draft classes. If you're looking at this a year later, I mean, you're not patting yourself on the back, but are you trying to figure out what you got right? Is this more luck than skill? Like, how do you assess this draft class if you're a year out as a general manager trying to replicate it, I guess?
Here's a great example of marrying up the personnel with the coaching and the schemes that they run. So Jalen Watson, I believe he had length. I think he ran okay. I think he was in the 4.5s, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, a little stiff.
Yeah, a little stiff, but the system married up to his skill set. So this is where you have a lot of conversations between the coaches and the personnel department, especially as you're leading up to the draft in those meetings. I knew we dedicated a whole week. We'd get done our meetings, and then a week before the draft, that was all – re-going through the draft board, doing our group studies on position players and guys that the coaches like, guys that the analytics like, that we may have too low or maybe too high, just to go back and refine that board. And I thought that they did a tremendous job doing that and marrying up the personnel and the scheme.
Debo lets me know that 4 rookie starters in the Super Bowl for this Chiefs team was tied for most in Super Bowl history: George Karloftis, Trent McDuffie, Isaiah Pacheco, and Jalen Watson. And 61 starts from first-year players, most from a Super Bowl winning team ever. So that's a, you know, that's a testament to getting everything right, it feels like. And then
Josh, or if you can go back to that, I don't remember because you guys wouldn't let me participate with you last year.
Yeah, there was a reason for that. We're finding out. Go ahead.
Watson probably passed up Williams on the depth chart, I believe.
Yeah.
By the time it was said and done.
And part of that, so here's my thinking with Josh Williams out of Fayetteville State, a Division II school, I believe. Athletically, through the roof in terms of testing and what you can expect trying to project, but just hadn't played the competition level when you're playing in the Pac-12. And Jalen Watson, one of his toughest games last year when you watch is when he had to go up against Drake London 2 years ago, I guess, in college. And no crime in having a tough afternoon against Drake London, who was a first-round pick, first wide receiver taken for the Falcons. But at least he had that experience. Joshua Williams was probably always the best player on the field, and maybe that had something to do with it too, you think?
Yeah, potentially. But like I said, usually some guys will – it doesn't mean that that's going to stay the same going forward.
Right, right.
But, you know, it's some rookies it clicks earlier than others, and others it takes maybe a year or two, and then all of a sudden – they clicked and then they surpass the guy that was ahead of them. So that's why they say every year you go in and basically you're starting with a clean slate. And when you have the depth on your 53-man roster and the more competition you can create, the better team you're going to have.
All right, let's go look at the team I ranked ninth last year, Rick, the old Jets.
And you're bragging about this?
Yeah. At least I didn't have him like 30th, I suppose.
Okay, you got
it. Well, look, I did
top 10.
I did pretty well. So Sauce Gardner, we knew he was going to be an early pick. He went 4th. I didn't think he was going to go that early. Garrett Wilson, top 10 pick. He went 10th overall. Jermaine Johnson, who you've known since high school from Minnesota, he went at the bottom of the first round. Not a surprise there. Breece Hall, 2nd round. Jeremy Ruckert, right around where I thought he might go, late 3rd. Max Mitchell, he went early 4th. Michael Clemens, the edge rusher, who didn't get a lot of run last year just because they didn't need him. I don't think he had any injuries, but he'll get an opportunity this year, a 4th-round pick. That's a lot of production from a lot of important positions. And Jermaine Johnson, by the way, didn't play a lot, so he has an opportunity, like Michael Clemens, to get more reps this time around too.
Can I ask you this? Since in the media I've learned that you can re-rank, would you put the Jets or the Kansas City Chiefs as the best rookie class last year?
I might. Oh, I mean, both players, the Jets' first two pick won offensive and defensive rookie of the year. So it's hard to counter that. I'm going to go the Chiefs. I would have to think long and hard about putting the Seahawks 2nd, because you got 2 starting offensive linemen. You got a right tackle and a left tackle. So what's more important, left tackle, right tackle starters, or Sauce Gardner and a wide receiver and Garrett Wilson?
Well, you got 2 premier positions in the league right now that were offensive defensive rookie of the year. It's great to have a starting right and left tackle, which are premium, in the cornerstone probably of Seattle's offensive line going forward. But I would have, in the way Breece Hall was going, I wouldn't have been surprised if he did not get injured, if he would have pushed Garrett Wilson for rookie of the year.
Yeah, they hit a lot of home runs with those picks. And again, it makes you forget about them trading back up into the first round to get Jermaine Johnson, who had a really good season at Florida State after transferring from Georgia. Is that where he transferred from? Yeah. We talked to him at the Combine the previous year, not last February, but the February before. And he had, and you know this because you know him, he had a little edge to him, because I didn't ask him about it in particular. I just asked him about playing at Florida State. And it felt like he took the question as if the question was being posed where the ACC wasn't up to snuff compared to the SEC. And he felt like he had a lot to prove. As the ACC has a lot of good football players, I would say man-to-man, if you're comparing, it isn't the SEC, but it's not far behind. But did it surprise you at all that he had a little edge to him when I spoke with him?
I wouldn't know, since you didn't let me participate last year with you. So no one used me last year.
Yeah, where were you for the Combine?
Yeah, we were on our draft boards at that point.
Wait, Rick, when Jermaine Johnson was coming out, you were driving from Minnesota down to Florida, I believe. With the dogs.
What's that have to do with anything?
You weren't answering your phone. We tried to get you on the phone.
You were the first one. It was like the first. I was your favorite Spillman until you met my brother, and now it's like I'm second fiddle.
I'll just put it to you this way. If I gave today's Paramount Plus challenge to your brother Chris, he would pass with flying colors. That's all I'm going to say.
Ryan, can I play a new drop that we have anytime Rick gets a little testy with you and kind of demeans you a little bit?
I would love to hear it.
Alongside of my good friend, CBS Sports draft analyst Ryan Wilson.
I did not have my good friend in the script. Rick ad-libbed there.
He ad-libbed. Look at this guy. A little media savvy. He's blushing. He does not like it when he gets caught saying nice things about people.
You know what? Someday when my brother is done in his front office experience and comes back into the media, could you imagine me, you, and him being on this podcast? Would you quit?
No, of course not. I wouldn't quit. I would be afraid you guys would push me out. You'll be like the Kelsey brothers. who do incredibly successful with their podcast.
But I'm just warning you, if you think I'm sarcastic, wait till me and my brother get together.
as our buddy Pete Prisco likes to call you and your brother, a couple of meatheads. I don't know if that's true or not. I'm just repeating what I heard.
Coming from the king of meatheads.
He is a meathead, too. That's right. Last time he was on this podcast, by the way, he was flexing into the camera. So there are a lot of things we got to work through here. All right. So did you tell me who your favorite draft class was from these three that we talked about from last year?
Yeah. Well, I'm doing the after. I've got the luxury of picking the New York Jets because I saw what happened over the Kansas City Chiefs because I thought the New York Jets, even though they didn't have the same record, they're rookies had a bigger impact overall than the Kansas City Chiefs did.
Huh. Okay. So I'm looking at the numbers here that Debo put together. Garrett Wilson, 83 receptions, 1,100 receiving yards, 4 touchdowns. Sauce had 2 interceptions and a league leading. How many pass breakups do you think he had last year?
15?
20.
20.
Unbelievable. Breece Hall, 80 receptions. He had 80 receptions, Breece Hall. Is that right, Debo? 463 yards, 4 touchdowns.
Rush.
Oh, sorry. Okay. I was going to say, good Lord, that's more than I thought. He had 19 receptions, 218 receiving yards, 1 touchdown. So, yeah, 80 rushes, 463 before he got hurt. Hopefully, he'll be back and healthy and ready to go very soon towards ACL. Ken Walker was also a good pick. He was my running back one, Ken Walker was, who went to the Seahawks. So, yeah, those are three great draft classes. And let's see, Rick, if we can find.
Well, while you're looking and finding something, can I point out something, Debo, without being sarcastic? But if my.
I don't know. Can you?
Yeah. Fine young friend over there.
Oh, God.
Fine young man that I support in this podcast. Uh-huh. A couple of weeks ago before the draft, I think I threw out an analytic stat for you. That corners with plus 80-inch wingspan.
Oh yeah,
led the league in PBUs. 9 out of 10 of them did, mm-hmm. And you should have pointed that out if you were astute. why he had 20 PBUs, but you don't pay attention sometimes. But I'm here to help you clean up and point out some facts that you may have slipped through your mind, not intentionally. You just lost. Yeah. You're just worried about your puppy and if he has to go to the bathroom or not.
That's true. And by the way, if as long as I have a breath in my body, you will not get Paramount Plus. I'm just letting you know. Tariq Woolens.
Does facials count as sarcasm?
Facial expressions, yes. So good luck. You need to put a mask on or something. By the way, Tariq Woolen also, I don't know what his wingspan is, but it's plenty long. And he had a lot of PBUs last year as well to go along with the 6 interceptions. So to your point, you were right about that. I'll give you credit for that. All right. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll get Rick's picks for 2023 for these impact rookie classes.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Hosts Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Man, if you're listening to the audio version of this, we just watched a Paramount Plus commercial. It makes you want to run out and get Paramount Plus, doesn't it, Rick?
I am trying to earn that as hard as I can, and it's, you're putting up very difficult obstacles for me to become the only employee at CBS without Paramount Plus, and I will try my best, and I am getting through this, although I probably did have some questionable, Debo, would you say, comments so yes. far?
Yeah, you're done.
I've lost the challenge. Now I can just let loose.
Yeah. I thought you were let loose already. I thought you just, this was a foregone conclusion. So yeah, go crazy, Rick. All right. Let's get to your impact rookie classes for 2023. I'll list them and then you can go in any order you want. How about that? The Lions, the Panthers, and the Seahawks. You are now, I thought I was a big Lions fan. You are the biggest Lions honk on the internet. For reasons that I don't quite understand. I don't know what the connection would be, but that's okay. They had a great class. Why don't you tell me, if you want to start in Detroit, why you think this class has a chance to be good overall?
Well, when you look at their draft class, I think Gibbs is going to have a major impact with him on the offensive side of the ball. I think he will be an upgrade over Swift before it's said and done because of all the different aspects of offense that they can utilize his skill set with. I think Jack Campbell is going to be another starter for them that'll man the defensive front seven. As he learns the defense, he will be able to go out and do what he does. And he has unique size when it seems like every linebacker that we look at in a draft is undersized. This guy has size and can do a lot of the same things those undersized guys can do. The guy that I almost looked at, and I almost mentioned him on Monday's podcast, was Sam LaPorta as potential offensive rookie of the year. I'm even going to go that far on their depth at the tight end position. And ever since they traded Hockenson, I think he's going to step in. I think he can block. I think he's a very good athlete in routes. I think he's underrated as an athlete after the catch. And I think he's going to have a major impact on the offensive side of the ball for them with Jared Goff. And then I think they went and traded up to get Brian Branch. And Brian Branch has an opportunity to be the starting free safety or potential Nick opposite of Gardner Johnson. So I think they have four starters in their first four picks. I think they drafted the future quarterback. And next, you know, once Goff is done in Hendon Hooker and then Broderick Martin, I think is an underrated nose tackle. They struggled some versus the run. I think as he grows and learns, he may not be ready week one, but as he develops, I think he's going to have an impact at the nose tackle position, especially in the run game. And then the last pick, Green.
Yeah.
The receiver from North Carolina, you know, thank God Pete Prisco pointed him out, or else no one would have known about this kid. But I think he's going to be sneaky good as well down the road. So I think they got four impact starters right away as rookies. And I would go out and say that this draft class, with the way that they're going to impact this roster, could be as impactful as Kansas City's in the Jets draft class last year.
You know what? Here's the thing. So you'll love this. When I did my rankings, the Lions were the ranked 21st among all the teams in terms of their draft class, which is pretty low.
This year?
Yeah. But let me explain.
Okay, wait. The 2023 draft class was ranked 23rd?
21st. Yeah.
And I'm saying it's going to be the top three?
Well, I'm going to explain to you why my rankings are so low, because I like this draft.
I can't wait to hear this one.
Yeah, that's fine. I like this draft class a lot. It doesn't take into account when I do the rankings. All I'm doing is comparing where I thought these players would get drafted to where they actually got drafted. So in that sense, Jahmyr Gibbs and Jack Campbell went much higher than everyone in the media thought. You would agree with that?
No.
No one on planet Earth thought Jahmyr Gibbs is going 12th overall in the media, unless they knew someone. Same with Jack Campbell. He went 18th. We thought he might be a first-round pick. I thought he'd be a little lower than that. That's fine. Sam LaPorta went a little higher than I thought, although I'd had him going in some of the first-round mock drafts. Brian Branch obviously went lower. I thought he had a chance to go in the first round. Hendon Hooker went lower than I thought. I thought he might go in round two by the time it was all said and done. And then Antoine Green went, I thought he was seventh round, like late day three guy. it doesn't matter, when the middle, late fourth, and that's because of Pete Prisco influence. So I get all that. So when I was comparing where I thought they would go with where they actually went, that's why the Lions graded out not as well as other teams. Also, I didn't take into consideration the team, the Lions. It was just what I had pre-draft and what actually happened. And when you look at the Lions depth chart and how these needs are filled with these players, I agree with everything you said. My exercise is simply a mathematical one, not necessarily more than that. And that just sort of takes the bias out of it. But then it makes people like you angry. It actually makes fans legitimately angry when they see that I have their team ranked way too low in their opinion, and it causes them to you know, get fired up. So I want to hear how you're going to channel those fans in your rebuttal.
Well, I'm just going to say I don't think I have to rebuttal anything. I love my jokes.
Yeah, clearly one of us does.
But I would suggest, since you're the CBS draft expert and I'm learning so much from you over the last,
you're not getting the Paramount Plus, it's not going, there's no take back. So go
alongside of my good friend CBS Sports draft analyst Ryan Wilson.
Oh, this is gonna be your downfall.
Remind me to not do promos anymore.
That wasn't a promo, that was from the heart. So what might you suggest, Rick?
I might suggest that before you put a grade on the draft class and you want to see what impact these rookies are going to have, look at their depth chart, not where you thought they were going to go, but look at, do you disagree with me that there could be potentially four starters that can have an impact on the Detroit Lions?
No, I literally said I agree with everything you just said. I was just explaining
you're admitting you're wrong.
I'm just admitting the way that I did this isn't necessarily
I want to clarify for Ryan, like, this, what we're doing today is impact in year one. Not saying that Ryan's list is going to be perfect in the future when we evaluate draft classes 5 years out.
Okay, but, why don't you guys just team up with each other? What are you guys having lunch today?
We didn't have the Jaguars on the list of best 2022 rookie impact classes, but with Trayvon Walker and Devin Lloyd and some of the, like, they may rise up when we evaluate years down the road.
Well, yeah. I know we're not evaluating. We're evaluating a month or a little bit more than a month from the draft, not even a month. That doesn't make any sense to me.
That's okay. I
mean, yeah,
it doesn't have to.
Well, all I am is just a supporting actor, just trying to row the boat here in the back end, just making sure I'm contributing.
Man, I don't know how you're going to watch Champions League, because the final is coming up. You don't have Paramount Plus. You are in deep doo-doo.
It's not on CBS Sports Network?
It'll be on CBS, the big channel. So you're in luck for that. I didn't want to tell you that, but I felt bad because I know you're a soccer fan. All right, that's the Lions. I agree with you. But this is just a different way, instead of me saying D+, A-, that I can actually try to defend what I did. And you didn't like it, and that's okay.
No.
You don't have to like it.
I don't know how you can defend that opinion.
Well, let's see if we can defend this. You'll love this. Carolina Panthers, the team that I had ranked first overall last year in my draft rankings. You have them on the list as an impact rookie class, so you have to explain yourself there. They took Bryce Young first, of course. Jonathan Mingo in the second round, the wide receiver out of Ole Miss. DJ Johnson, the guy that you talked about a lot late in the draft process, the edge rusher out of Oregon. Our guy, Chandler Zavala, the guard out of NC State, who somehow didn't get a combine invite, went in the fourth round, which feels about right. And J.B. Robinson, the safety out of Florida State, ended up going in round five.
I think this is going to be a very impactful rookie class. Although experts like yourself probably wouldn't agree with me. I think they got their franchise quarterback. Now he's probably going to have some growing pains, but I think that he's going to be the franchise quarterback that they've been looking for. Mingo, they traded away DJ Moore in the trade with Chicago. I think Jonathan Mingo is going to come in and have an impact to go along with Thielen and DJ Chark on the passing game, and he gives another big body receiver that is real athletic after the catch. DJ Johnson, I just loved his motor. I think he's still a little raw with his technique, but the one thing you can't coach is his motor and how hard he plays. And I think that Gross Matos on the edge does not fit the new scheme for the Carolina Panthers defense. I think he's going to fit the scheme better. So it'd be interesting to see as he rotates in there. And when you have Burns on the opposite side of him, I think he'll have some production in the rotation. Zavala, I think, has a chance to be a starting guard for them. Maybe close to maybe day one, depending on how well he comes. And then Jamie Robinson, you know, didn't work out well at the combine. He's a better football player than he is doing all the test numbers. He didn't run extremely fast, but he think he can play some Nick. But I see him probably starting eventually opposite of Von Bell, who they ended up signing from Cincinnati, I believe, in the offseason. So I think this is going to be a pretty impactful for only having five picks. I thought they hit it out of the park with all five of their picks.
Frank Reich said just the other day that Bryce Young's command on the first day of OTAs, out of 10 points, what do you think he gave him? How many points did he give him?
10? 9?
10 out of 10, first day of OTAs.
I doesn't surprise me one bit.
Well, that makes Pete Prisco very, very angry.
Yeah. No, he thinks Will Levis should be there.
Speaking of anger, I had the Carolina Panthers ranked 27th on my list.
Why?
I will tell you. Can you do it without having a reaction, or are you going to make a face?
I can't wait for this one.
So Jonathan Mingo went early in the second, and we had heard that he might go that early. I just didn't like him that much. I think he's going to be a good football player. You talked about all the things he does well. He also blocks extremely well, so that gets you on the field early as a wide receiver. I had him more as a late day two, early day three pick, so there's some difference there. DJ Johnson, I had him going early fourth. He went mid third. That's fine. Zavala, I liked better than where he ended up going. I had him a late second round pick. And then Jamie Robinson, I had going a little higher than the fifth round. So a little value there. So it was primarily just Jonathan Mingo. And it wasn't like this is a bad draft class, but when you compare it to the other draft classes where I thought teams had more value, that's why they fell a little bit. I like the draft class. I like Bryce Young. I like Mingo. I like your guy Johnson. You talked about Zavala being a starter. I liked his tape a lot. I didn't dislike the class. It's just when you talk about did some other teams get more Ryan Wilson value points than other teams, the Panthers fell to 27th. So I'm sure that is water off a duck's back in your mind.
Yeah, that's 27th. Yeah, this is the 27th class out of the 32 teams. That makes a lot of sense to me.
Different things. You're fighting about different rankings.
I don't understand the exercise. I don't understand his value because every time he says, oh, yeah, I had him going higher than where he went, this guy I can agree with. Every one of these guys except Mingo went higher than where you thought he was going to go, yet they're ranked 27th. I don't understand it.
Go ahead, Debo. You can explain why Rick is arguing a different point.
I mean, I don't – your spreadsheet, and I know you got your Excel formulas to figure this out, but it's a different list. If Ryan, you had to just re-rank and impact rookie classes immediately contribute, I'm sure the Panthers wouldn't be 27.
Oh, yeah. But again, yeah, so Rick, this list here, it doesn't take into account, and you already pushed back on this, it doesn't look at depth chart. It's just looking at where these guys got drafted. That's all it is.
Yeah, well, that makes no sense to me.
That's okay. It doesn't have to.
Yeah.
That's why we have you on here.
You know, common sense comes into factoring before you put something out.
I'll reiterate again. You are never getting Paramount Plus. I will get it in my next contract. Like, I don't want to raise. I just want to make sure that Rick doesn't get Paramount Plus. But to your point, and to Debo's point, will this class have an impact on the Carolina Panthers sooner rather than later? Absolutely. Because Bryce Young is a home run. And by the way, I had Bryce Young going first overall. He went first overall. So there's no value there when I do my rankings, because he's that good. I suppose I could weight it. So I'll get to do the Rick weighting system where the Alabama players get an extra 500 points.
It's just called common sense. That's all it is.
Is Mingo going to contribute right away? Of course he is. How much? I don't know, but I think he'll be on the field a lot because of his versatility. We'll see with DJ Johnson. You mentioned he's a little raw. I think you're right. Zavala can start, and that will obviously be a help for not only Bryce Young, but also Zavala's former teammate, Ike Ekwonu, who is at a up and down rookie season. We'll leave it at that. All right, let's go to your next team. Another team that had a great rookie class a year ago. Another team that was in my top 10 rookie classes a year ago. Don't shake your head, Rick. The Seattle Seahawks.
I had a twitch.
Oh, okay. All right. So since the Seahawks.
Paramount Plus. Again.
Yeah, you're never getting it. Don't even ask. I'm talking to my 11-year-old now. Don't even ask. You're not getting it. So two first-round picks. They got Devin Witherspoon, which we've talked to death about this. That was a surprise, given that we thought maybe Jalen Carter or Tyree Wilson or someone else might be in the mix. Then they came back and got Jackson Smith and Jigba. Also a surprise. And this draft with the first two picks was similar to the Lions in that the picks that they made were shocking, but also you could see how they fit into those football teams and it'll help them out right away. Derek Hall, edge rusher out of Auburn in round two. Zach Charbonnet, more depth behind Ken Walker, the running back out of UCLA. Anthony Bradford, the guard out of LSU. Cam Young, who you've talked about previously, you like his game. The defensive lineman at Mississippi State in round four, followed by Mike Morris, edge rusher out of Michigan. Mike Morris looks great coming off the bus. I wish he played with a little more grit, as you like to say. Then Olu Atimi, the center out of Michigan. He'll have the chance to play pretty soon. They need some help in the middle of that defense. And Cherick Reed, the safety out of New Mexico. And finally, Kenny McIntosh, running back. More depth there out of Georgia.
Yeah, Olu Atimi is an offensive center, so he's not going to help very much on the defensive side of the ball.
Oh, help on the offensive side of the ball. He had a chance to start there. What'd I say?
Is that you said defense? Debo, is that sarcasm when I correct him?
I mean, the tone, you know.
It wasn't nice.
I think that's a definition of sarcasm.
Can you send me a definition of sarcasm from the dictionary?
You're so just saying
just because I don't understand his rankings, I don't understand the definition of sarcasm.
You could be like, hey, Ryan, you accidentally said defense, and he actually plays on offense.
And hey, Rick, you know what? You can tell that Debo is early on in his relationship compared to two old guys been married forever with the way that he forms responses to things that may perhaps be irritating to the other person, whereas he's upbeat and nice. And, oh, by the way, whereas you are like, hey, dumbass.
I did not say that.
I'm channeling your inner thoughts.
I'm just getting nervous for Ryan to say where he had the Seahawks in his post-draft rankings.
Oh, God, yeah.
I can't wait for this one.
All right. Why don't you guess where I had them and then tell us about the impact class?
Oh, I imagine, let's see, the way you've been ranking?
Yeah.
I would say 25.
Too high. 29th, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, they got a starting corner. They got a starting slot receiver. They got
read the instructions.
Help them. They Charbonnet is going to definitely be an impact because of Walker's durability, but the 1-2 punch, he's going to play a lot. Bradford, I wasn't as high on. Cam Young's going to help solidify the interior of that defensive line to go along with Draymond Jones. Mike Morris, if he does get some fire in his belly, can be a very good player. You can't deny the production he has. You just wish he played harder every snap. And someone pointed out to me, just like Mozzie Smith, those guys play 70, 80 snaps a game. So
that's a good point. Down. Yeah.
So if they're in a rotation or playing 30, 40 snaps a game, maybe you see the energy and effort that you wish you would saw on some of the games that we evaluated. So, I think this is, again, they're going to get a lot of impact players just like they did last year. I don't think it is as good. I would rank them out of my top three, Lions 1, Panthers 2, Seahawks 3. So I think they have a lot of impact players that are going to continue to build on a strong class from last year.
Let me ask you just a general question here. Do you think Kenny McIntosh makes the team?
I thought he was solid. He didn't run very fast. I know he has receiving skills out of the backfield. I think he's a little generic, but he could potentially carve out a role as a third down receiver out of the backfield that can catch the ball very well. So I could see him potentially making it, if not practice squad, with a potential chance to jump up to the 53 if they have injuries.
Yeah, DJ Dallas also on the team behind Ken Walker III and Zach Charbonnet, who they drafted. So, I mean, Isaiah Pacheco was a late seventh rounder. So I was just thinking over the course of the fall, Kenny McIntosh's stock, according to the media, would go up and down. There's some talk that he might go top 100, which I always felt a little rich, ended up going late seventh. So, you know, we'll just see how that plays out. All right, so
the difference between him and Pacheco is Pacheco had one unique trait, speed.
Yeah, he was a burner. And he was actually, he looked small at Rutgers. He is not small. I think he's 215 maybe, maybe bigger than that. He's thick.
Right. But he has one unique physical trait that McIntosh doesn't have.
Right.
And that's the speed.
Yep. Even though you would agree that speed isn't necessarily the end all be all of the running back position.
It helps.
It doesn't hurt. But I mean, Adrian Peterson might be different. I don't know what he ran. Do you know what he ran his 40 time was? Did he even run a 40?
I can't remember if he did or not. Somehow.
I can't imagine it was north of 4.5. It was had to be sub 4.5.
No, he was just, I've never seen a guy wired like him just physically. Now, if you asked him to go out and shoot a basketball,
yeah,
he was a horrible basketball player, but put a football in his hand. And it was like, you know, some of those guys are just like, when you hit them, it's doesn't matter. You just feel it, you know, cause he was so, I don't know what that is physically, but just a beast. And it was like hitting a brick wall every time someone tried to come up and tackle him. And the longer the game went on, the stronger he got, but also the defenses wore down because they were hitting a brick wall every time they tried to come up and hit him.
You know what? Do you remember Willie Gay played for the Steelers out of Louisville, the nickelback? I talked to him in 2013 at Steelers training camp. And I think the year before or at some point prior, the year or the 2 years before that, you guys had come to Pittsburgh to play, and Adrian Peterson ran in the middle. He was running between the tackles, and Willie Gay tried to make a tackle, and he got kneed in the head by Adrian Peterson, and he went out, like concussion out, did the reflex out, like we saw Tua do when everyone was scared. Back then, it didn't matter. Like, you just like, oh, he got a concussion. We'll bring him off and see what happens. But I asked him about that, and he said, man, I just put my head down and hope for the best, and I got kneed in the head, and I got knocked out. Like, there's nothing you can do when Willie Gay probably weighed 185 at his most. What did Adrian Peterson play at, 220?
Now, if that, 215, probably. Oh, okay.
God, he looked like he was 250, though. He was just so
He was ripped to shreds.
Let me ask you.
4.41 at the combine.
4.41 at the combine.
At 217.
That's moving. Let me ask you if you're surprised by this headline that I saw yesterday, Rick. Adrian Peterson has not yet retired, and he said he has at least one more year left in him. Do you believe that? I mean,
I wouldn't doubt. I don't know if anyone will sign him, but I would never doubt anything Adrian Peterson says when he can do physically. I've never seen a guy in that great a shape and how he kept his body. And the one thing that even gave me more respect is when he tore his ACL. I believe he came back off that ACL, and everybody says it's a year before he recover. He came back, and I believe that was his MVP year. I think he rushed over 2,000 yards a year after he tore his ACL, if I'm not mistaken, Debo.
If you want to hear more about that, go check out our conversation with Eric Sugarman, the longtime director of medicine.
Yep.
For the Minnesota Vikings. He talked about Adrian Peterson, that story, because he tore it late in the year against Washington in December, maybe even early January, and he was ready to go at the start of the next year, which is unheard of. We also talked about Terrell Owens, because Eric worked for the Eagles prior to that, and he got to see T.O. come back from that when Williams, what was Williams' first name, broke his leg with that horse collar tackle? The Oklahoma State safety. What was his name?
Not Roy Williams.
Williams. Yes, thank you. Because that was the anti-Roy Williams rule when they got rid of the horse collar tackle. Came back and did everything he did in the Super Bowl. That was the first time Debo cried in the Eagles Super Bowl, but we won't talk about
it. All right. Rick's timeline is right. He is a trivia genius.
I knew it. All right. So you're going to rank him Lions, Panthers, Seahawks in terms of impact rookie classes for 2023. I had the Seahawks class ranked 29th, which checks out by your reverse Rick rankings. Look at his face. He wants to grab me through the camera.
I don't understand it. I still don't understand
it. That's all right. I'll explain it to you on one of our road trips here. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see here. Devin Witherspoon went right where I thought he would. Jackson Smith and Jigba went a little lower. Derek Hall, I didn't love him as much as the Seahawks did. Same with Zach Charbonnet. Anthony Bradford went about almost a round higher. Cam Young went exactly where I thought he was going to be. Are you impressed by that, Rick?
Yeah, you got one right.
Scroll down a little bit, Debo. Let's see what else we got. Or is that it? Is that their last pick? Oh, there we go. Mike Morris went a round and a half higher. Oluwatimi went exactly where I thought he was going to go. Jerick Reed and then Kenny McIntosh. I thought he might go a little earlier just based on some buzz, but he went in round 7. Favorite pick, Devin Witherspoon, huh? What do you think of that, Rick?
Yeah, you're right on it. That sounds like the 29th best draft class in
it does, doesn't it? Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break so Rick can recompose himself, and then we'll come back and look at my impact rookie classes right after this.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
All right, Rick. My favorite impact classes, most likely to help their teams win more football games.
Hey, Lupo, is that Stallone? Is that a pretty good show?
Oh, my God. It's so good.
If you're listening to the audio version, we just saw another Paramount Plus commercial for Rick Stallone's Sylvester Stallone's reality show with his family
and Rick, and not to mention Tulsa King
is also
more
really
recent
good.
You know, Sly Stallone, great show on P+.
That is excellent.
My two favorite actors were Sly Stone and Arnold Schwarzenegger. I thought they deserved numerous Academy Awards.
I could see that feels like it's in your wheelhouse. If you were nicer, you could watch Paramount Plus, but you can't, so we'll have to tell you about it. Well, me and Devo do a podcast about the Sly Stallone shows on Paramount Plus
You know what I think we should do, Debo? Right. Next time we have an open mailbag, have people send in their favorite shows on Paramount Plus so I know what I'm exactly missing.
I love it.
All right.
It's my artistic mind working.
I think he feels bad, Debo, and he's trying to be nice. You're not getting the Paramount Plus subscription, so just go. All right, my number one impact rookie class. Pittsburgh Steelers, also ranked first in my post-draft rankings. So
first, I don't understand.
I know you don't. First? We get it. You don't understand.
The fans don't understand it. Now, no wonder. I'm trying to save your credibility here, bud.
How's it going?
Not good.
Not good. So, well, you tell me any of these picks you think might struggle to contribute as we go down the list here. Broderick Jones, the offensive tackle they traded up for out of Georgia. Joey Porter Jr., the first pick of the second round, the cornerback out of Penn State. Keanu Benton, who you liked a lot, the defensive lineman out of Wisconsin. Darnell Washington, who actually likes to brag that he's a tight end. And by the way, if you watch All Things Covered with our guy Brian McFadden and his cousin Patrick Peterson, who's now playing in Pittsburgh, they had Darnell Washington on, and Pat P offered to buy Darnell Washington a suit, I think, for the Vegas game. Are you going to offer to buy me a suit for our next pro day stop?
I'm just a rookie that I wasn't allowed to participate last year, so I would think that you and Debo would put your monies together to buy me a suit, just like Pat P is going to do for Darnell Washington. Why would I should get some kind of reward. I can't get Paramount Plus, but can I get a suit?
Wait a second. Pat P's the veteran. You're the veteran. You're supposed to help out.
I'm just a supporting actor in this podcast and trying to elevate your self-confidence.
Oh, God.
Your rankings. You know what I am? I'm finding out that I am the self-esteem coach for you and Debo on this podcast.
All right. Well, my therapist would argue otherwise.
I need to talk to her or him too.
Nick Herbig, the linebacker to Wisconsin. You spoke with him about him at length on Monday while I took a little doggy break. Corey Trice, my guy, the cornerback out of Purdue, ended up going in the 7th round for some reason. Then Spencer Anderson, who played opposite Jalen Duncan at Maryland. He is a tackle, could end up kicking inside to guard. Rick, I would imagine if you start at the top of this list, you're going to do a lot of check marks in terms of players as rookies who should help out early.
Yes, I like this class a lot. I thought it was one of the strongest classes. So I'm actually, I don't know how you come up with your ranking of them number one, but I do agree with you, finally. I thought it was a brilliant move to go up and get Broderick Jones before the Jets had an opportunity to take him. Well, I thought Joey Porter would go in the first round. He went in the second. Benton I love because I think he is going to be a run stuffer, but I think he is athletic enough, and we saw some of that down at the Senior Bowl, to contribute as an inline pass rusher, at least collapse the pocket to give those edge rushers a chance to even get more sacks because the quarterback, I don't believe, will be able to step up in the pocket. Washington, I think he went earlier, but there was some concerns with his knee by some teams out there. Herbig is a Pittsburgh Steeler, just good football player pick. Trice is stiff, and if you put two bolts in his neck, he'd make $1 million playing Frankenstein out in Hollywood. And
so what are you talking about?
And Spencer Anderson, they're taking a flyer on as well.
Yeah, right. No, that's right. So I'm looking at the offensive lineman that went off the board first. Paris Johnson went 6 to the Cardinals. Not a surprise there. Darnell Wright going next to the Bears at 10 was sort of a surprise. Not many folks thought he would go that high or be the number 2 offensive lineman off the board. The very next pick, Peter Skoronski, and then Broderick Jones ended up being the 4th offensive lineman. Let me ask you in your experience. So 4 offensive linemen, top 14, and you, when we cluster these guys in the days leading up to the draft, are you also having the conversation, we're willing to trade up for this many offensive linemen if we need them, and then after that we're going to do something else? Or how do you determine how many guys, how far are you willing to trade up for a player?
Yeah, you have to look at the threats on where these offensive linemen go, and I think there was a significant drop-off after the top 4 offensive linemen. So if you're going to have to get an offensive lineman out of this draft class, you would have had to move up. You know, we got very lucky. I think it was on one of my Rick's picks on how we ended up with Darisaw.
Yeah.
You know, when we traded back and still were able to get him. So a little bit of luck. But in this draft, there was a significant drop off to me after the top 4 offensive linemen. And if that was a need, I felt you had to go up, depending on how you had them stacked in your draft board, to go up and get one of these because of the threats of where they were going to go in the top 15.
Yeah, Broderick Jones goes 14. It wasn't until 13 picks later at 27 that the Jaguars took Anton Harrison, the tackle out of Oklahoma. And then the very next tackle did not go until pick 38, Matthew Bergeron out of Syracuse. And maybe he kicks inside, but he played outside of Syracuse. He gives you that versatility. So to your point, there was some drop off, and perhaps that prompted the Steelers to move up to get Broderick Jones, who is going to have a chance to be the day one starter in the fall. We'll see how OTAs and training camp work out. All right, my next team, the Los Angeles Rams. They had what felt like 47 draft picks.
This will be interesting. Would you rank them 2?
10.
Oh, my God. So this draft class is better than the Detroit draft class, better than the Carolina draft class, better than the Seattle draft class, according to your rankings.
Combined. But you understand how I get these rankings.
No, I don't. That doesn't make any sense to me.
All right. If I tell you again, Debo, do you think you'll get it, or am I just wasting my breath?
No. again, these are not
right. I'm not listening. I it's in my head that it's not right, and I refuse to listen to anything further about the explanation. It. And I was trying to cover his rear end on these rankings.
Okay. All right. Well, commence coverage of rear end. All right. So this is one of the classes I like. Steve Avila was the first pick they took there, 5th pick in the 2nd round. Byron Young, the edge Byron Young, both Byron Youngs in this class are good. Our guy Kobe Turner plays in the interior. Stetson Bennett, look, for all the things that he did in the lead up to the draft, banging on doors in Austin, Texas, perhaps not interviewing well, according to some NFL teams during the combine, you feel like in this system he has a chance to have some success. Nick Hampton's a really good athlete, the edge rusher at App State. I like the way he played. Warren McClendon offers some depth along the offensive line out of Georgia. Davis Allen was the big, huge target tight end we saw. Had a pretty good Senior Bowl. Puka Nacua, the wide receiver at BYU. Again, another big target. Trey Hodges Tomlinson is an incredibly undersized nickel slot corner who is grabby, to say the least. And Oshon Mathis, an edge rusher out of Nebraska, I like. They got him as well. Zach Evans, a running back at Ole Miss. I think he has a chance to play right away and get some snaps there. They got a punter, a safety, and Jason Taylor, the 2nd at Oklahoma State. And finally, with Mr. Relevant, I believe, DeJuan Johnson at Toledo, who actually was a lot of fun to watch over the course of the season. So for a team that went all in, put all their chips on the table to win the Super Bowl, and had a rebuilding year last year, whether they want to admit it or not, in part because of injuries, I thought this was an absolute home run of a draft in terms of restocking a lot of positions with players that could potentially help you sooner than later.
Yeah, well, they're going to have to because they don't have a choice.
Right. But I thought they got the players to help with that. And they didn't just, you know.
They did get some good players in this draft class. You know, down there when you look in the lower rounds, you know, Davis Allen, the tight end from Clemson, I think is going to help them. You know, the running back, definitely Zach Evans,
yeah.
Yeah, is going to be a major impact for them. So I thought they had a lot of good value players that are going to have some impact. And they're going to have to get them ready. And like I said, I think this is going to, I don't want to say recharge, but put a challenge in front of Sean McVay and that coaching staff on developing all these young guys as quickly as they can, because they're going to all have to contribute because of the where the roster is right now. I mean, they still have the Cooper Cups of the world and the Aaron Donalds and the Matthew Staffords, but a lot of these young guys are going to have to come in and be contributors right away.
Give me a percent chance that you think Stetson Bennett starts at least 2 games this year.
Is this a dollar bet?
Nah, just, I mean, it can be if you want. I don't think he does, but I mean, you know, Matthew Stafford struggled with injury or whatever reason. I think
saying he starts because of Stafford getting injured.
Yeah. Any reason.
No, to give you, I'll bet you a dollar that he does not start 2 games this year.
Okay, I'll take that bet. Let me see who the backup is. Do you know who the backup is? Oh, he is the main backup. Then it's Brett Rippon. All right, yeah, give me that, Debo. I'll take the $2. I don't feel like I'm getting pushed.
No, $1.
Around. $1. Sorry, 2 games, $1. Yeah. God forbid it be a $2 bet. I got to make my money up. Yeah, there. And we talked about this before in previous podcasts. Their depth chart is not surprisingly littered with rookies, but their special teams, from the punter to the place kicker to the long snapper, all rookies. Returner, everything is a rookie. And that's a position, or that's a group, by the way, where you would like to have some veterans, especially in terms of, like, do you get nervous putting rookie punt returners back there, given how hectic that is compared to even kick returning?
Yeah, no, kick returning, that's a whole nother podcast on the, the new rule on fair catching, like college between the goal line and 25, it automatically comes out to the 25. So
that is approved. I don't even pay attention to the owners.
Yeah.
The
rules. No, yeah. You know, to get a global view of the NFL and what's going on, you had to read more than just.
Okay. Yeah. I just read Pete Prisco. That's not enough.
No.
Okay. But did you get nervous about putting rookies back? I would imagine Mike Zimmer.
You have a pretty good sense through, training camp and through the preseason of how nervous they are to be back there, especially fielding punts. But a lot of guys that have done it in college, and the difference in the college and the pro role is on punt and punt return, the punt team cannot release until the ball is kicked. In college, after the snap, they're running down the field right away. So you have a little bit more opportunity depending on how well you hold up the gunners on the outside. But you have a little bit more room as far as potentially fielding punts just because of the difference in the rules.
All right, let's go to the Falcons, my final team that I think is going to have an impact rookie class. And it starts at the top with Bijan Robinson. That almost feels like a layup. You have Bijan, and then you have Drake London, and then you have Kyle Pitts. And then if you're the quarterback, second year, Des Ridder, it's go time, right? Tyler Allgeier is also there, coming in his second year. The running back at BYU had a pretty good season. Cordarrelle Patterson still there, the guy that you drafted. There's a Rick's Picks episode on that if you want to check that out in the feed. Then they got Matthew Bergeron. I just talked about him. He was the, sixth offensive tackle off the board. We'll see if he kicks inside or not, but I thought he held his own at offensive tackle at Syracuse. Zach Harrison, we saw him at the pro day at Ohio State. I thought maybe third was a little too high for him, but we'll see. You can flip-flop him and Clark Phillips if you want. That makes you feel better. I think Clark Phillips is a day two talent, ended up going in the fourth round because he's a little undersized, didn't run quite as well as perhaps that he wanted. DeMarco Helms out of Alabama, the safety there, ended up going in round 7. And Javon Gwynn, the center out of South Carolina, went a pick later in the 7th round. And he'll have a chance to get some playing time too if they if they like him. I thought he had a chance to go a little higher than that. But in terms of, so the Falcons won a ton of games by what felt like 1 point or 2 points. I feel like they're a better football team now. The defense is going to be better. Arthur Smith, if history is any indication, based on what he did at Tennessee with Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill, is going to lean on Bijan and Tyler Allgeier to help out Des Ridder, make opportunities easier to throw the ball to Drake London and Kyle Pitts. This team feels like it's going to be better.
I agree. I think they're going to be a better football team. And they were in it. I know it was a weak division in the NFC South last year, but they were in it to the end. But it was because, you know, they ran the ball very well. They need to get better on defense, especially rushing the passer. So I think they will be better. I think Bijan Robinson will be one of the top candidates for Rookie of the Year. But as I sit here and process, where did this class rank for you?
15, middle of the pack. You froze there for a second. I'm not going to explain it to you again because you're not listening, but you can go ahead and give me your response on how you feel about it.
Bergeron probably will move into guard if he has a chance to start. Zach Harrison, I think, is a ways away, but may give him some edge rush. He just needs to let it loose. Clark Phillips, I did like. I thought that was good value pick, and I think he could be a potential starting nick for them as a rookie. Helms is going to be a special team player backup only, in my opinion. I don't think he's fast enough to play the deep half of the field. Mm. Great kid. Very tough-minded, very smart.
Can he play closer to the line of scrimmage?
Yeah, but I think in today's NFL with the spread and, you know, when we talked about 11 personnel, which means one running back, three, one tight end, and three receivers, that you have to be able to play in space. And I don't think space was his friend, especially if you watch the Tennessee game. That was not a good outing for him. But I do give the kid credit. How I judge some of these kids when they have a poor game, how they respond the following week. And the following week, he had one of his best games against Mississippi State. So he is a tough-minded football player, but I think he is a backup special team player only. And Gwen, again, is just to me another shot in the dark.
Okay, so Falcons, Panthers, Saints, Buccaneers. Who finishes first?
Falcons, Panthers, Saints, Buccaneers.
Yeah.
All of them have starting new quarterbacks, right? Except for Ridder.
Yeah, and he's sort of newish. Yep.
So I'm going to go with the Panthers.
Oh, the Tuscaloosa to Charlotte pipeline continues. All right, fair enough. All right, that's it. Debo, just one more time to double check. Did Rick win the Paramount Plus subscription this time?
That is a definitive no.
All right, Rick, think about what you did wrong over Memorial Day, because that's a wrap on episode 54. So if you guys are looking for something to do before the old cookout, though, we'll have a mailbag. Rick will have his fancy shirt on. He'll probably say some nice things about me, so you can come check that out. There may be some dad jokes in there, so come back for that. In the meantime, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Thanks to my guy, Rick. Thanks to Debo for producing, and we'll see you guys next week.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.